butter and bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you a ripe and don't get a harden. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them is a culinary bummer. Forget about all the sweating and the digging every time I go out and pick me a pivot.
Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I'm here with the always fabulous Linda Perkins. Good morning.
Good morning. I don't have my apron on, but holy cow, I have a sweater on.
I know. Yeah, I know.
I noticed that you've been in your turtleneck drawer.
Yep. I've been in my turtleneck drawer for a week. Holy cow. Yeah. I'm cold all the time, suddenly getting used to fall, yeah. Although it feels kind of like winter. But what is the deal with the apron? I mean, this is the second Food Talk, Linda, no apron.
I know. It's because really...
It's alarming.
I had to wear a sweater.
Yeah, that's why.
It's really, really why. Hey, how'd you do with the storm?
Good. It was a non-event where we are poor Manzanita. I feel so bad. How about you?
You lost
an apple tree.
Yeah, well, that was like the pre-storm. Same thing with Manzanita. The pre-storm was so much worse than the storm. Yeah, we lost our big apple tree. It totally uprooted. So I'm hoping that we can, and by we, I mean my husband, can pull it back up and, you know, fasten it down in. And a lot of people have told me how that works with an apple tree. It'll root again. It'll produce apples. So I'm really hoping. Even who is telling me? Oh, come on, brain. Well, I think Kate Merrill was telling me that out by her, there's a apple tree that's been uprooted like on its side since 2007, and every year it produces apples.
Holy cow!
Yeah. So I have hopes for that. So
It looked like I saw the picture, and it looked like it had a bounty crop on it.
Yes,
it came down.
And it's so funny because the little dogs are like, "Woohoo! We can sniff a tree top. Woohoo!" And so they just spend their days out there sniffing the top of the tree.
So are you dealing with apples like crazy?
Yes. And then one thing that happened that I thought was pretty funny is, did you get hail out where you were Thursday?
Yeah.
Oh, the hail was so big. I mean, it really was like an inch. I think it was the Warrenton, maybe the Warrenton Police Department on their Facebook page. They put a picture of a bunch of hailstones that were like an inch and a half each, but they were maybe 3/4 of an inch to an inch. But the wind was blowing so hard, and it was just right at first light, and it kept ringing our doorbell because it was bonking them against the house. Isn't that funny? And so the little dogs were going crazy then too.
Oh.
But yeah, because the apple tree is down, and I already had a lot of apples. You helped me pick them. I've been dealing with the apples like crazy. When I came in, I showed Marianne my hands because, well, yesterday we dealt with probably 150 pounds of apples, and maybe that doesn't sound like a lot to you.
No, it sounds like plenty.
I don't peel them. I'm lazy. I mean, I think peeling is just fine and it's healthy. It's good for you. But and we don't use any apples that are sprayed, but just the cores and little bruisey nubbins. We had 3 kitchen garbage bags full. That's how much it was. So that was really something. So my hands are like little dead puppets, and Marianne said, "Now I can do hula."
Holy cow, apples. Well, I mean, yeah, that's an embarrassment of riches, but this is definitely the time of year to do something with apples. I'm still baking radio pies for everybody who called in during Pledge Drive and wanted pies, because not everybody wants their pie at exactly the same moment. But the more kinds of apples you can put in a pie or applesauce or almost anything that you're making is the more kinds, the better, the more delicious the product. It's just so exciting right now, this time of year. And also baked apples. Hey, what's your favorite thing to stuff baked apples with?
Boy, you know, I never make them. I don't know why. I just don't.
They're just so good.
I don't know why.
I like them stuffed with a little brown sugar and butter and raisins. And then
nuts.
Drizzle a little calvados in there, some apple brandy. And bake them. A little drizzle of apple juice in the bottom of the pan to keep, you know, just get them excited in the oven.
When I want something to be really good, there's, I get this stuff at King Arthur Flour, kingarthurflour.com, and it's a boiled apple cider. So it's syrup consistency, and it's just super intense apple. And just when you said you pour a little.
Yeah, that'd be really good on there.
Yeah, that's something that when I want something to be really good in appley, when it's special, I use that.
Oh, that's just a really good idea.
Yeah,
ginger syrup, too, is really good.
Oh, no.
Drizzled over a baked apple.
Yeah,
so baked apples, I hadn't even thought about it till just now when we're talking. But
I don't even know why I don't make them.
I have an interesting recipe to share with everybody.
Yeah.
And I doubt that it's going to be on the North Coast Food Web website because we are constantly saying that no matter what you cook at home, even if it's a dessert or, you know, cookies mm-hmm. or something, if you make it at home, odds are it's healthier than if you bought it in a store.
There's no beta carotene in.
Right. Exactly. However, I have a recipe that a friend sent me, and this is a friend who eats 99% of her meals in restaurants.
Okay.
So this is her idea of cooking, okay. and her the whole idea of cooking out of a pantry, I'm sure, is very not applicable in this case, but instead of a pantry, she ends up always having a refrigerator full of to-go boxes, leftovers.
Okay. Okay.
So here's what she cooked on the 16th. So this was Sunday brunch for her.
Okay.
Leftover prime rib with big fries from the coffee house, dollop of cheesy gravy from leftover raclette, leftover McDonald's burger with fries, some stale Triscuits for fiber, hot sauce and tap water. Voila! And she mixed it all together in like a saute pan or a frying pan and cooked it up.
Prime rib and a McDonald's hamburger.
And she says, simmer till hashy. And then she put a leftover biscuit on the side.
Oh, my gosh.
So if you are the kind of person who eats most of your meals out and you have a refrigerator full of leftover boxes, apparently you can use them all in one recipe.
I feel like we should go get her and dunk her in water and try to save her some kind of religious kitchen experience. Don't you?
I responded by saying this makes me feel a little queasy. Anyway.
Am I being mean? Am I being a bully? Am I
No, no, no. You know what? Not everybody cooks. Everybody should. But like all of us, there's all kinds of things we should do that we don't necessarily do. So I'm just saying that there's a tip. There's somebody who's not letting anything go to waste, even though clearly they should. So,
Well, speaking of mean.
Yes.
So I have all these apples and I feel really bad. So, well, you know how like when the senior high kids pick on a junior high kid, then the junior high kid picks on the elementary kids. So we have these friends, and they're always having parties, and my fingers are doing the air quotes parties. And you'll go for a party, and they're like, woohoo, we're moving, help packs boxes. Or this, and that's a real one. Here's two other real examples. Woohoo, you're here. Hey, can you drive this truck back from Tillamook with our goat and our goat house in it? And then here's another one. Woohoo, we're pulling stumps. Here's your hot dog. So that kind of party. So because that has happened to us and we've been treated by us, I have learned that behavior. Uh-huh. So I have these friends, and I believe that last time I had them over, just come over for like an hour, it was when I got those 500 pounds of berries down in the valley. Yes. And so now I've got a tree down in my yard plus a basement full of apples. So yesterday I'm like, just come over for an hour. We'll have coffee. And I mean, I'm so transparent. She says, can I bring my own knives? So not only do I not have a lot of friends, I'm just like laying waste to the ones that I already have. Isn't that sad?
I can't come fix apples because I'm busy making pie crust for you.
Oh, I know. I know. See, I did it to you.
We're
too.
All getting ready for the big bake sale in December. You know, So are you just chopping up apples, peel and all, and coring them and then tossing them in freezer?
You know what? Here's the thing about apples. They do not thaw well. And so, like, I can't do like I do with berries, which thaw fine. They're mushy, but everything I use them for is mushy, like pie and jam. The apples, they turn into, like, fiber and water. They're so watery when they thaw. So what I have to do is make pie filling, and I put it in a disposable pie pans. I buy pie pans out at Cash and Carry, and I also buy those cylindrical, straight-sided, round pans for apple crisp. So what I have to do is get the apples chopped up in the right size and then get them with the right spices and thickener and sugar and then get them in the pie pan so that I call it a puck, that apple pie filling puck.
So it looks like a pie without any crust.
Exactly. Is exactly the shape I want, so that when somebody named Marianne makes crust, you can put the bottom crust in and then thunk, drop in the puck and then put the crust across the top, because it can't thaw out. It has to be baked from frozen, because otherwise
it'll turn to
liquid and fiber. It's just weird.
So you're not cooking it, though, but you're just mixing it all together.
Right,
into,
right.
Okay.
Yep, squishing it down.
Very interesting. Hey, yeah. Everybody with a bumper crop of apples.
Yeah.
Because if you have pie crust discs in your freezer and you have apple pie-shaped
pucks,
fruit, pie filling in your freezer, you've got a pie in no time.
Yeah, so I just do it right in the pan, and then when I want to get it out, I just dip it into hot water, and that works in just a few seconds. And then I use the pie pan again, but I use a new pan for the crust, because moisture is the enemy of pie crust. And so then I'll wash that pie pan that I had the puck in and use it at a different time, because all those little wrinkled, crinkly
right.
spots will harbor right. some kind of water.
Yeah.
Do you make applesauce?
Yes, and I love applesauce, yeah. And I have in the past put up applesauce, but I more often just make it at dinner when I want applesauce with
okay.
something.
Well, I really like applesauce, and I don't have that luxury of just making enough for dinner right now.
Yeah.
But I think I like it better when it's frozen than when it's put when it's canned. Something about
yeah.
it. I think it's just better. And so I'm just making that too and putting it in quart bags and putting it in the freezer. And I made a lot of apple butter. And that's the first step in making apple butter. You make applesauce and then you mix it with vinegar and sugar and spices and you reduce it down for like ever. And then you can it. But I really, really like applesauce with just a teaspoon of apple butter mixed in with it.
Ooh.
So then you don't have to put any spices in your applesauce. You can use it for all different things. It's just blank apples. And then that is just a really easy way to dress it up. And I think it's delicious. I really, really like it.
Oh, and if you just have applesauce with nothing in it, then you can do you could make quick breads. You
mm-hmm.
could do a zillion things.
Pork
with
chops.
It
doesn't have all.
Yeah.
Anything.
Stir it into your oatmeal.
So how I make applesauce, I don't know how you do, but because I was looking online and somebody was doing it in a slow cooker, which I thought sounded really, really long. But I just take a pot and put a bunch of apples in it, and I cover it just not even up to the top of the apples quite with water. Bring it to a boil. I'll actually have the water boiling first. And then I use a strainer, and I strain the apples out, and I let them sit in the strainer for a couple minutes over a bowl just to get as much water as I can out of it, and then I run them through a food mill, and I bought an OXO food mill this year, and man, I love it. It was on Amazon, and it was the one that had the review of, this is the best thing on earth for getting blackberry seeds out of blackberries. And I'm like, bink! Didn't even look further. But boy, is it good for getting the skins off the apples. So I don't peel them before I put them in. But if you peeled them, then you wouldn't have to do
all that.
I just
have the old-fashioned Molly food mill. I mean, that, was my mom's.
Yeah. Oh.
But, it works really well for getting skins off of stuff. I mm-hmm. use it for tomatoes, too, sometimes. But I just chunk up peeled apples because if you're making it for dinner, you're going to peel a couple apples.
Yep. Yep.
And
you don't want to run it through the food mill
people.
And clean that up. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So, chunk up some apples, put them in a saucepan with a tiny bit, like 2 or 3 tablespoons of apple juice.
Okay.
And that's it.
Okay.
And then I just use a potato masher.
Yeah. You wouldn't have to do all the straining and everything. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm not throwing away any apple juice.
Yeah. Well, the quantity that I make apple sauce for, because I made 16 cases of apple butter. So what happens with the water is you use the water over and over and over, and it's in a big 12-quart stock pot, over and over and over, and at the end it's applesauce.
That's so great.
So that way there's no waste.
There's no
in
waste.
The water. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fabulous. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Food Talk with myself, Marianne Myers, and my fabulous friend Linda Perkins on Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon. We're streaming at coastradio.org, and we're in your pocket wherever you go on your mobile device using the TuneIn app. So are you doing anything? It doesn't sound like you're doing a whole lot Socially, besides apples. I mean, apples are the big deal right now.
Right now, yeah. Just because the tree fell down. And then, you know, I already had like 400 pounds in the basement because we went picking. And then David and Lisa Reed, if you need new friends, I would make them your friends. They gave me a whole bunch of really nice apples.
And from their tree?
Yeah. They have these two little Liberty trees that they planted when they moved here about 10 years ago. And it's so funny because when they have apples, they're just about 8 feet tall, but there's hundreds of pounds on these two little tiny trees. And then you pick the apples and they're like 12 feet tall. The branches are like, ah, and they go up in the air.
That was heavy.
Yeah. Hey, we were talking about food mills and that reminded me a little bit about equipment. And that's something that I'd been wanting to talk about, like kitchen equipment.
Yeah.
And I know that you can talk about it until, you just beat the horse to death. But there's just a couple things that I think are just so essential. And I think people think of them as more of kind of a professional thing. But, boy, they're not. They just make your life so easy. And the first is a scale.
That is a flat-out fact. I don't even know how I made it without a scale for so long.
I know. Like, I'll have friends, and this is real. I'll say I have a friend, and she's like, I just don't understand why I can't bake. And so I went over to her house, and I watched her. And what she does is she uses her cup as a scoop. Like she just scoops flour into the cup. And then, that's why, because baking is pretty exact. And then even if you, and if you get a scale, you can do this experiment, and you'll be like, oh, now I understand why I always failed. You can take how you're supposed to, a scoop of flour, and level it off with a knife and put it in a bowl and weigh it and put it back in the bag and take another scoop, and it will be different.
Yep.
It's always different. Not so much but with sugar, but with flour, and that's the important thing. And then anything, just anything that you can weigh. Like when I'm making these giant batches of apple butter, instead of, you know, cup after cup after cup of sugar, I just weigh out 112 ounces, ba-ding, and I'm done, you know, and then I can make a giant vat.
Yeah, and if you want to be really, if you want to turn out a really consistent product, there's no better weapon than having a scale, because then everything is the same every time.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I love about scales is that they have metric and American measurements on them. So if you've got a recipe that says 750 milliliters of something.
From the British Baking Show.
Yes, and from a lot of, I have a Brazilian cookbook. I mean, there are so many, the entire world out there is using a different system.
Yeah.
And they're not going to tell you necessarily how many cups of something. So being able to weigh that stuff out is just huge. It has really kept me from having to learn the metric system.
Yeah. Well, and there's so many scales, and that can be daunting. And I have had at least four. And I think there's two things that are problems with scales. One is they don't weigh enough. For some reason, they always say they weigh 11 pounds, but they will only weigh four. I don't understand why. And then the other thing is that you put something on it, and you cannot read the readout on the digital scale. So I have one that I really like, and it is, are you all ready for the model number? Ready?
Well, okay. We're really not supposed to promote products on public radio.
Okay.
However,
I made a mistake.
I have that same scale.
Yeah.
What I would say is just test it.
Yeah.
You know, actually press the button. Get somebody at the store to let you try it. A kitchen store will.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the big everything stores are, it's all sealed up in some sort of plastic that will injure you when you try to remove it from the packaging. I would say test it. And the other thing I really like about the little digital scales is that you can use any bowl or container to hold whatever it is you're going to weigh, because you put it on there, you press the little button twice, and it zeroes out, and then you're just weighing whatever is in your container.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that I used to have a manual scale.
Yeah.
You know, and that worked great too. So it, you know, it really, however you want to do it, just you can kind of suit yourself. But highly recommend that you have a scale, especially if you already bake or really want to learn to bake.
Yeah. I like, for the digital thing, I like being able to tear it. Put the bowl on there, tear it.
Yeah.
Put something in there, tear it. Put weigh yeah. something else.
Tear like T-A-R-E.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's the thing that I like about the digital ones over the manual ones,
yeah.
I think best. And then the other thing that I think is just essential is a digital thermometer. You don't
Absolutely.
Have to buy one of the big fancy expensive
Absolutely.
Ones.
But, well, and you know, now even the cheapy ones you can run through the dishwasher. So if, like me, you're making a great big mess.
Really? Digital ones?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yes. It will say right on the label of the package whether or not you can.
Okay.
And I always get the kind that you can because I'm using in meat
mm-hmm.
and all kinds of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And also I'm using them in the course of doing a big meal or whatever, and I'm going to have a load of dishes, so
mm-hmm.
being able to toss them in there, great.
Do you remember when we were talking about grilling, and you said that you shy away from it because you can never tell when something's done?
Yeah.
And that's I think what the digital thermometer does for me. I know that I like meat. I like to pull it off the grill when it's about 125 in the middle, and you got to get that thermometer right in the middle. And how you can tell if you're too far is if you poke it in there and then you pull it back a little and the temperature goes down, because it's instant read, you know, it tells you right away. And so just whatever the lowest temperature is in the center, I pull mine off at about 125, and then and that's for beef, chicken 150, and those, that's just where I like it. Those aren't FDA numbers because they want to not get sued about anything. So
they're really,
but that's what I
making
like.
Us cook our food until it's
yeah.
really dead.
Some, especially like pork and turkey. Those
yeah.
are things that they get up into gristle land. But then my husband likes beef at like 135, so I can pull that off then. And then even like for me, it's hard to tell when a cake is done. I don't want it to be too done. And so I just, I put the thermometer in the middle of the cake, and once it reads 200, I pull it out of the oven. And that's just a really easy way to tell when things are done, and it's an easy way not to get surprised.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've grilled something and cut into it, and it comes out hollering when you cut it, and you're like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. And my guests are like, oh, no, I'll eat this and probably not die and never come back. It's just a really easy way to be sure, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love grilled food. Of any kind. I even have a little grill that I think of as my emergency cook stove if the power goes out for too long.
Okay.
because I don't know. I want to go to somebody else's house for grilled food. I don't want to schlep everything out onto the deck.
Really?
And schlep it back in. No, thank you. I just want to cook in my kitchen. I am so lazy.
No, that's not lazy. See, I'm lazy because I don't want to clean up the pots and pans, and so I cook it on the grill.
Oh, well, there's that, I guess. I have a little grill. I have a stove that you can take off a two-burner panel and put on a little grill.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, I can have things that look perfectly grilled, but
yeah.
but they're right in the kitchen. So,
well, and that's such a luxury.
What are you going to what is a special thing you do about Thanksgiving holiday? I know we'll do a full-on Thanksgiving thing, but I'm already thinking about it. And I know that you and I are both going to a friend's house for dinner, but I wonder what if
our
you...
Our traditions.
Yeah.
Because I'm from Minnesota originally. I always have something with wild rice. I love wild rice. And there's a cold wild rice salad that I really like that just has a Parmesan vinaigrette with some celery seed in it. But it's cooked wild rice and red peppers and green onions and tomatoes and... peas. And I just really like it.
It sounds fabulous, but I'm really curious about the dressing, because that's the thing with whole grain salads.
Mm-hmm.
The dressing is so critical.
Well, I should put that maybe up on the website.
You should.
The reason is it's the same dressing that I use for like a potato salad that isn't mayonnaise-y, you
uh-huh.
know, that you use a vinaigrette on. So I'll boil potatoes and get them cold, and then just put in, I really like fresh zucchini and peppers and my mind has gone blank, fresh corn. It's more of a summery thing, but it's a dressing that I use on a lot of different things, and I wish I could remember it right now. But
it has celery seed in it, which I think is such a fabulous secret weapon for dressing,
yeah.
like coleslaw dressing to celery, a little celery salt and a lot of celery seed is key to
yeah.
happiness for coleslaw dressing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Georgia Schrode, you know, she's my neighbor that can cook so well. She has a coleslaw recipe that is just genius. It's so delicious. So she takes, it's probably a cup of mayonnaise and then maybe 3 tablespoons of sugar. This is all, you just get it where it's just a little sweet coleslaw tasting.
It's sweet and sour is, you know, yeah, standard.
And then maybe 3 tablespoons, 1/4 cup of lime juice, not lemon juice.
Oh, and not apple cider vinegar.
Nope. Lime juice. And it is so delicious. So it's a mayonnaise, sugar and lime juice. And you just, it's a good recipe just to trust yourself on. Glop a bunch of mayonnaise in there, you know, and then put in the lime juice until it tastes limey, but not like overly limey. And then add sugar until it tastes, you know, just a little sweet, but not real sweet. And then a lot of celery seeds. It's a palmful. It's like at least a tablespoon of celery seeds, a bunch of black pepper. You know, mayonnaise is pretty salty. And so I've never used salt, and I'm a salt loving person, but it really doesn't need salt. And that's it. Lime juice, celery seeds, not celery salt, celery seeds, black pepper, sugar, and mayonnaise. And it's good.
Mm, it sounds good. I'm going to try it because I do almost exactly the same thing, I use apple cider vinegar.
And
so.
I forgot. Sorry, I forgot the most important thing. It's not the most important, but she takes an apple and she cuts it into matchsticks. And so then it's the cabbage. And so you make the dressing and then you cut up the apple into matchsticks. And then she puts that into the mayonnaise just to keep it from getting brown. And then she just uses a coleslaw kit because sometimes they're just as cheap as buying a whole head and shredding it. And then you get the little pieces of carrot and the little pieces of the red cabbage too. But how she cuts the apple, and I hope I can like explain this on the radio because I sure wish you were here to see my floppy puppet hula hands. She takes an apple and she cuts it in half and gets the core out of it. So she lays it flat on the board so it looks like, you know, a half a lump. And then she cuts it into slices. It's in slices. And then you turn it 90 degrees and then you just do exactly the same thing again. So you're cutting it into slices. And then what you have are little tiny matchsticks because you want little tiny matchsticks. You don't want big hunks. And then each little matchstick has a tiny little piece of red peeling on the end and it's pretty.
Oh, yeah.
But that's really, really good.
Okay. That sounds really, really good. I love coleslaw, and it is cabbage season.
Yep.
It's fabulous right now. I will eat cabbage almost anyway. I love it just sautéed in a little olive oil with salt and pepper on it.
I love it chunked up in fried rice. I love cabbage and fried rice.
And soup. It makes almost every soup better.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you a ripen, don't get a harden. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them is a culinary bummer. Forget about all the sweating and the digging. Every time I go out and pick me a bigger.